Father, we thank you, Lord, and I praise your name this morning. And would also join us in the morning hours and the afternoon hours. We thank you for everyone. We'll gather together unto you today, unto you. The scripture says, shall the gathering of the people be. Glory to God. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even as we declare the word of the Lord today, let us receive that understanding. Let the light shine upon our ways. Let the Lord be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, so, you know, I want to talk to us today about, you know, the wilderness, the promised land, and the experience and the journey, the process, and so forth. We're titling this, Manna is Good, but the Promised Land is Way Better. Praise God. You know, so what is it that this is all about? Well, you all know the story, and we've told some of it, portions of it, at different times, you know, here. But what we have here is that what I want to point out is that there were a lot of people that came out of that, you know, Exodus story from Egypt, but most of them did not make it to the promised land. They died in the wilderness. And, you know, at best, you know, what they got was manna, you know, which was God's provision and God's response. The manna was actually God's response to the murmurings of the people. The first time that manna was mentioned in the Bible, we find it in Exodus chapter 16. You know, these people had, you know, gone through, come out of Egypt. The Lord had given them deliverance over the armies of Pharaoh and etc. that were chasing them. And they're going, you know, they're going through, they're always grumbling about one thing or the other. They can't find water, and when they found the water, it was bitter, and then God had to do something about it. And they went a little further, you know, they found some oases and some refreshing place. And then, but they were always, you know, continually grumbling, wanting to say, well, why did you not leave us in Egypt, and so on? Could have died there. There are better graves there. So, well, according to all the people, as they continued to murmur and grumble, speak unto Aaron, say unto all the congregations of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he had heard your murmurings. That's right. I heard your murmurings. And God deals with the Lord, you know, and said, look, what are we that you are murmuring against us? You know, the Lord will give you something to eat, you know, and all that, because he has heard your murmurings. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, he said, but against the Lord. So it's in the previous verses. And then he said to the people, come near to me. Come near before the Lord, for you heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron and began to speak to them, they looked toward the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even, that means in the evening, ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now, let's notice that this was God's response to murmurings of the people. It was not, I mean, on that context alone, it was not going to be a good thing because you were murmuring against the Lord and God gave him an answer, but, you know, it wasn't going to be a good thing. That's not what God intended for them. God wanted them to go forward and get into that promised land quickly. But because of all their murmurings and so forth, you know, God actually designed and responded to them, even though he gave them something to get by, but took them around in the wilderness in a long journey until they all perished. Most of them did. And so the Lord said to them, you know, that you will, I'm going to give you something to eat. So it came to pass that evening the quails came up, you know, it was coming like, looked like snails or whatever, covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around about the host. And when the dew was gone up, behold, on the face of the wilderness lay a small round thing, as small as the hoary frost on the ground. And people didn't know what it was. When the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna. But they didn't know what it was. And Moses said, you know, so actually, you can see here that it was the children of Israel that named this thing manna. God didn't name it manna. They called it that because they really didn't know what it was. You know, and so Moses would speak to them, and then he gave them instruction, you know, concerning what they would do. And some of them followed the instruction, and some did not follow it. But we see that this was the first place, you know, where this manna was given. You know, the manna actually is a Hebrew word that just means, what is it? That's what it meant. So it was just a question. That's the meaning of manna. It just means, what is it? You know, but it was because they didn't know what it was. So they called it, you know, manna. And then, but it was, it's something that symbolized, you know, God's provision that he gave them at the time. But it was, I keep saying this, remember this, it was in response to their grumblings. It was not provision in response to their faith and their trusting and praising the Lord. It was provision in response to their murmurings. And that's a difference. We're going to talk about that. You know, so when people are murmuring and grumbling against the Lord, the Lord might respond, but it would not be the perfect thing, you know, because their hearts were not aligned to give praise to God. They were murmuring. And so God gave them something, but it was not the ideal thing. It was a response to their murmuring. And you see that, you know, these people did not trust the Lord. Neither did they obey him. So because of that, God made them actually to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. You know, many of them wanted to go back, honestly, to Egypt and go back to slavery. And God, on the other hand, promised to take them to the promised land, right? But they ended up, in a way, so to speak, settling down, going around in circles, you know, until finally most of them, you know, died in the wilderness. So, you know, that's a serious story to consider. We want to consider it this morning. As a matter of fact, the Lord wrote or allowed to be written in the scriptures multiple things and warnings about this kind of scenario. You know, so let's read some of the warnings. There was a story which we have talked about multiple times here. Story in Numbers chapter 14. Beginning even in chapter 13, where the Lord asked Moses to send out spies. And they went, they came back. Most of them gave an evil report. You know that. And two of them actually believed the Lord their God. But God said some things in that, you know, in those lessons, which we need to be aware of. And we've talked about it before, but I want to call our attention to it again today because it's relevant to this lesson. You know, don't settle for manna when God has promised you the promised land. He wants to give you the promised land. You know, the people got manna instead because of their murmurings. And this is the point of today's lesson. Even though it looked like it was provision, you will see that Jesus later condemned the thing. You know, he said, look, that was not the true bread that came from heaven. You know, it was just something, you know. So we're going to talk about that as well. Now, in the story of Numbers chapter 14, there is a powerful warning that we can derive from these things, you know. So here's what the Lord said. Say unto them, as truly as I live, Numbers 14 and 28, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, even as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. All of you that were numbered according to your whole number from 20 years and up, which have murmured against me. So I'll call out some of these murmurings today. Now, they murmured against me. He said, well, you shall not come into the land, which I swear will make you dwell in, except Caleb and Joshua. But all your little ones, which you were saying, because you were saying, what, did you want our little ones to come out here and die in the wilderness and so forth? Well, these little ones that you have said should be a prey, them will I bring in, but the rest of you, you won't go in there, you know, and you will know that I am the Lord. And he said, but as for the rest of you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and you will wander in this wilderness for 40 years. Bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be all wasted in the wilderness. And the number of days in which you searched out the land, even 40 days, you know, this will be a sentence. This was a punishment. They searched the land out for 40 days. You know, 10 of the spies brought an evil report. The people's hearts were carried away with the evil report. And because of that, God said, okay, for that reason, you shall bear your iniquities. 40 years. You will go around a year for each of those days. You search out the land. You will go around in this wilderness and you will perish in this wilderness. And the most severe thing that God spoke says, and ye shall know my breach of promise. My goodness. God, we know that when God promises a thing, it is good. You know, you can take it to heaven. It's good. But in this case, God said, no, it's not good. And it will not be good. That thing that I promised will be breached upon you because you murmured against the Lord. Now, this is severe, serious warning. You know, you ever thought of a breach of God's promise? You know, what is the thing that can breach God's promise? The murmurings of the people, their unbelief, and they are not sanctifying the word of God in their hearts, limiting the Holy One of Israel, and all those things they did. But mostly, their murmurings is what I want to talk about today. What is murmurings? When people are grumbling against the Lord, you know, just because we're going through stuff, then we start to grumble against the Lord. And God hears it. He might just do something very severe. So let's be careful now. When you have the word of promise, in this case, you know, the target was the promised land. That's where they were going. But their murmurings became contradictions against the promise. They were distractions, you know, about many things. The things they saw on the way, the things they heard. Some of them, I mean, most of them didn't actually see these things that the 10 spies reported. They only heard, you know, and they had the option to wait, you know. Two of them said, look, we can do this. Let's go up at once and let's take this place because these people are bread for us. We'll have them for lunch. Our God is with them. Their strength is departed from them. Don't look at their stature. Don't look at anything. God gave us the word. Let's go up at once and let's do it. The remaining 10 said, you can't do that. These people are like giants. They will consume us. We are like grasshoppers. We are nothing. And so forth. They made the hearts of the people to melt. But people chose to believe an evil report. So, you know, today, when you hear a report, of evil in the land. And there's testimonies of good too, but the testimonies are fewer. The voices of evil report are higher, 10 to 2 in this case. Voices of evil report are higher, 10 to 2, but there are still a couple. God always has a remnant. God would never leave himself without a witness. There were two people that believed the Lord. 10 of them, they were outnumbered. Their voices were silenced. The people chose to believe the evil report. They did not believe the word of God. Now, these are the same people that God has shown great signs and wonders to in the land of Egypt. When he was bringing plagues upon the land of Egypt, he protected them. No evil became them, even though evil was happening all around them. You know, when even up to the point of the firstborn, when there was darkness in the land, firstborn in Egypt, everything, man, beast, everything, firstborn was dying. God protected the children of Israel. Didn't happen. They asked Moses, are you sure? He said, yeah, because God said so. And they said, just stay in your house, put the blood upon the door, stay in there, you'll be fine. You know, and they were fine. They went through the wilderness. God showed them great signs and wonders at the Red Sea. You know, and yet, you know, they would not believe the Lord. They forgot quickly that the Lord, what the Lord said and promised and which Moses told them is taking us somewhere. I kept telling them, their hearts kept going backwards. And so God gave this warning. Your murmurings will cause a breach of God's promise. And so we got to be careful. This is serious warning. And even though we are told that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, etc., etc., I told that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Yeah, you know, that's true. However, murmurings can cause a breach of that promise because we see it in this story. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read in the first four verses or first five verses, you know, a record how the Holy Spirit brought it to Paul and the warnings that he gave. And so we got to be careful with this thing here. He said, look, moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Don't forget this. How that all our fathers were under the cloud. They experienced tremendous things. And they all passed through the sea, the Red Sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat of the same spiritual meat. Well, spiritual only in the sense that God sent it. Jesus later debunked that it was nothing. And they all drink the same spiritual drink. God brought them water out of the rock. But with many of them, they drank of that rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Even way back in the wilderness, Paul said Christ was there. You know, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. So today, it's a warning about this wilderness journey. Let's not die in the wilderness. Let's not settle for manna. You know, whereas God wants something better. Now, he gave that warning to them in these first five verses of this chapter 10 of the book of 1 Corinthians. And he also said in verse 11, said, now, all these things happened unto them for our examples. You know, he told them, don't even tempt Christ, as many of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Murmurings, you know, complaining, you know, and it's kind of like grumblings, complaining against the Lord, so to speak. You know, say, well, you know, this and this and this. And then people just, instead of believing God, and the devil always plants, you know, they were a mixed crowd. And the devil planted some people in their midst that were going to bring them distractions. Distractions through the wilderness. Now, murmuring is defined in the scripture as something that you're just sleeping quietly to express discontent. You know, just discontent. So the people are discontent, they're grumbling in their mind, you know, against the Lord and so forth. Now, So God said, well, he destroyed them, the destroyer. In the book of Jude, chapter 5, Jude verse 5 is what I want to say. Only one chapter in the book of Jude. But in verse 5, there was a warning about this also giving. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, you know, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So this is the warning today. The same God that saved them out of the land of Egypt later would destroy all that believed not because of their murmurings. And even at best, they got this manna thing, but could not get to the promised land. Even the spies, even the 10 wicked spies came and brought even fruits of the land. Yet their report was to make the hearts of the people to melt instead of to strengthen their hands, you know. So they did not, they couldn't get in there. But Jesus later, when he was speaking to the Jews in many of his lessons, you know, he would talk about, you know, this whole manna experience. And talk to them about, you know, let's read some of the things he said in John chapter 6. You know, because they were always trying to challenge him, compare him to Moses. They said to him in verse 30 of John chapter 6, he said, well, what signs do you show us that we should believe? What is it that you do? I mean, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, you know, and so forth. Moses did this thing. You did that thing. What about you? What do you do to show us that we believe? And look at what Jesus said. Now listen to this. I mean, this was manna that people thought was great. See how Jesus just dumped the thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. That's right. It came from heaven, but Jesus just trashed it here. You know, it just, because it really wasn't God's design. It was a response to their murmurings. You know, it was a response to their murmurings, and it was not good. And Jesus is telling us here, I mean, for many years, actually, people thought it was good until Jesus trashed the thing here. That, look, that was not the bread from heaven. You know, my father is the one that gives you that true bread from heaven. What Moses gave you was not. Well, we thought it was for many years, you know. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said, well, give us this bread, because they thought he was still talking about physical bread. Well, said, well, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now, all the Father hath given me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise come out. I mean, cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he said, well, this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Isn't that wonderful? This is the will again of him that sent me, said the second time, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth in him should have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the people started to murmur, just like they did back then. When the Jews heard this, they murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They were murmuring. Again, they were saying something under their breath. And, well, who do you think he is? Or do you think also of course are cannibals who eat flesh or this and that? I'm saying all these things. And so Jesus said, I mean, also because he said, I came down from heaven. So he came down from heaven. We know your parents, they thought, you know, murmur not among yourselves. So Jesus telling them, this murmuring is going to destroy you. Murmur not among yourselves. Now, so murmuring is a dangerous thing. Some people were complaining in their mind against the Lord. You know, who art thou that questions the Lord? you know. Maybe it's your unbelief that's preventing you from getting the best of heaven, and God just give you provisional supply, just for the moment, you know, to help you. But it wasn't really what he intended. Many times, through murmurings and lack of patience, we make decisions that bypass God's providence, or try to bypass it. You know, instead of waiting on the Lord, we'll go to unbelievers to go and borrow money, and go to the unbelieving systems of this world to go and borrow money from them, because we wouldn't wait on the Lord. And you may get a little manna there, you know, a little relief for the time being. But at the end of the day, God has judged and, you know, ruled that that thing is rubbish. That's what Jesus is saying here. It didn't come from God. It didn't come from heaven. You know, it looked like it came from heaven. I said, no, you know, it was just something that, you know, God gave you at the time, you know, to help you through the wilderness because you were murmuring. And the thing actually just, you know, appeared on the surface of the ground. The quails appeared that they fell from the sky. This one was just there. Now, Jesus said to them, I am that bread of life. Listen to this. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, verse 49, and they are dead. That manna that you thought they ate, which you are so proud of, they are dead, all of them. Every last one of them. That manna did not give them life, and it could not even give them life. It was just God's answer to their murmurings. And now we say, but this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, how many times is he going to tell them? Shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, that I will pay as a ransom for the life of the world. That's what he did. Yeah, so Jesus, you know, basically just condemned that whole manna thing, that it really wasn't God's perfect plan. It was something that he gave them because of their murmurings. So we need to be very, very careful about murmurings. Now, a lot of people start out well in this journey, but they end up dying anyway, not making it through. You know, some of us came out, I remember even in the 70s, many of us heard the end time message. And, you know, Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, we heard it. Say, come out of her, my people, and so forth. Be not partakers, you know, so you not be partakers of her plague. And many of us, we believe that. Came out of the dead systems and everything. Today, several people who came out have gone back. Jesus said, the dog has gone back to his vomit, and the pig has gone back to his wallowing in the mire. Just like the heart of those people who always went back to Egypt. Some people went back to, you know, to their ways. Smite the shepherd, scatter the flock. And the long wait, actually, when people say, well, the Lord is coming. In the 70s, we heard that the Lord was coming. I first heard about it in the 70s, maybe around 74, 75. I'll hear, oh, the Lord is coming. I didn't know the Lord was coming until then. You know, I thought we were just living through life. And I said, oh, the Lord is coming. And all of us started scramble. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Well, the Lord is coming. First of all, the messages were not preached, you know, appropriately and correctly, you know, and it gave an uncertain sound. But in any case, we thought the Lord was coming. Everybody started to scramble. That was 74, 75. Look at that. That was 50 years ago. And we're still talking about the Lord is coming. Does it mean he's not coming? He is coming. But the point is this. Many of the same people that were saying the Lord is coming afterward did not believe that the Lord was coming. Now, just like these people, they started out, you know, going forward towards something but he ended up going in circles in the wilderness. Let me tell you something else too, you know, that the Lord, you know, just like he did in the wilderness story, this, in this our age, well, perhaps the Lord did exactly the same thing. Let the people go around in circles until they all perish, you know, and don't make it to the promised land, you know, and God needs to weed out some things. So delay is coming. Of course, there are many reasons why the Lord delays, you know, is to make sure he loses nothing and have opportunity for many people to receive the gospel. But I guarantee you, people are always being born, you know, they're being born. Even when the Lord comes, people will still be born, you know. So, but maybe there's another reason. Is to make all the unbelief that's among the people, and the people that walk in unbelief and walk in murmurings in their heart go around in circles until they all perish in the wilderness. But here's the deal, folks. This is the real deal. You know, we got to go all the way. You know, and you got to make up your mind that I'm going all the way. You know, I'm not, you know, no giant or nothing or whatever the devil brings up. No distraction. I'm going all the way. And we need to walk by faith through that wilderness journey. And rather than, you know, when things don't appear to be going the way that we thought God promised, we start to murmur. And that never ends well. You know, people eventually, they give up on the Lord. You know, they just give up. And they went backwards, they went backwards, and they went backwards. And today, you know, where are all the people that were shouting and jumping for joy back then? Say the Lord is coming. Well, thank God some of them are still jumping and shouting for joy. Some of them are right here on this platform. But many have fallen by the wayside. Not just through physical death, but I mean even, you know, in their faith. They're falling by the wayside. You know, they settled for, you know, something that God gave as a response to murmuring. Manna, that's what people settle for. Let's go around, you know, instead of pressing for that promised land. And we settle for the manna. Well, you know, there are many warnings in the scriptures. Warnings in the scriptures that God gave us. And not to just settle down for manna, whereas he wants us to get to the promised land. You know, so let's read some other warnings that he gives here. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read from verse 15. He said, looking diligently, lest any man, you know, fail of the grace of God. And lest any root of bitterness springing up should trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he should have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Just like these people, when they should have inherited the promised land, they were rejected by the supreme judge that said, I found your works wanting. And because of all your murmurings and the hardness of your heart, you will wander around and you will die in this wilderness. And he found no place of repentance, even though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, that's a sad situation. Somebody that had a chance to have the birthright, he gave it up. And then later, or blaming somebody else for it. You know, Jacob didn't take anything from him. He sold his own birthright. You know, Jacob didn't put a gun to his head. You know, all he did was dangle something before him. You want some of my porridge? Well, sell me your birthright. He didn't think anything of it. He made light of it. Because he thought, well, it doesn't really mean anything. Well, it did mean something. You know, and he lost it. And when he would have wanted it back. He couldn't get it because the pronunciation was already made in the other direction, because he sold his birthright. And many people, and I remember, you know, that was a lesson in my life many, many years ago. This was probably, I don't know, maybe 1976 or 7. You know, we had heard the end time message. Everybody was jumping up. And I heard, I was in Lagos, Nigeria at the time, and I heard that, they were having like a three-day meeting. It was a group. I was thinking in my heart, can any good thing come out of Lagos? Somebody said, yeah, this group believed the entire message. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go check it out. So I got up one morning as part of that three-day meeting to go prepare and go for that, to go to that meeting. And as I was praying, I heard the words of the Lord. And he said, you know, beware now, because these people have heard that I'm doing a strange work. Therefore, they begin to devise to themselves strange things, and many shall lose their birthright. Exact words. I'm quoting it to exactly as I remember it. I said, oh, my goodness, what is that? So I looked for the place in the scriptures, and Isaiah, I found it, 28:21, that said, behold, I do a new work, a strange work, and so forth. You know, as truly as I'm saying this to you today, I got to that meeting, and the song they were singing was, the Lord is doing a new thing, the Lord is doing a strange work, the Lord is doing this, the Lord is doing this. And everybody just started to do strange things. Just like the Lord cautioned me. He said, beware now. Don't follow their ways, because many will lose their birthright. And it was just all kinds of strange things. I can't go into all of it now. That the people were devising to themselves. That's exactly what they said. Because these people have heard that I'm doing a strange work. Therefore, they begin to devise to themselves strange things, and many shall lose their birthright. So be careful. So I went there with my antennas up. And throughout the time that people were doing all kinds of strange things, I won't go into all of it today, I was opposed to many things because of this warning, you know, that the Lord gave me. And lo and behold, many actually lost their birthright. Now, what am I talking about here? Well, it is not sufficient for us to just say the Lord is coming soon, the Lord is coming soon. People have been saying this thing forever. In the days of Jesus, people were saying this. The scribes, they even knew where it was written in the scriptures. They knew all these things. But when he came, they missed it still. So may it not be our portion like that. That, you know, we'll be talking about the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. And then the Lord comes and then people still miss it. This happened during his first coming. And it looks like it's happening again at his second coming. You know, we're talking about the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. But we don't sanctify the Lord in our hearts. We have grumblings and things just because of things that are perishable. These are perishable things. You know, you need to focus on the promised land. Don't let these perishable things make you to miss the mark. And people miss the mark. A lot of people miss the mark. And a lot of people will still miss the mark, unfortunately. But behold, we're here to sound an alarm. Sound an alarm. You know, blow the trumpet. On my holy mountain, sound an alarm in Zion, we're told. No, we're sounding an alarm. I'm blowing the trumpet. Be careful now. You know, don't follow their pernicious ways, which many of them will go headlong. The scripture warned of these things. Now, how do we actually focus on going, you know, to the, getting to the promised land and not just wandering around in the wilderness, hanging on manna, which was God's response to rebellion. You know, well, the Bible gives us many warnings here. Many, many warnings. You know, there's a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13. He told the story of the parable, you know, of the sower and many other, you know, such parables he told. And it's, and sometimes, you know, he would, explain it to a parable of the tares and parable of this and that. Sometimes the disciples would come to him and they would ask him, yeah, what meaneth all these things? And then he would explain it, you know, and he said, well, hear ye the parable of the sower. That's Matthew 13 and verse 18. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, the wicked one comes and catcheth it away from his heart. So those are wayside hearers of the word. Those are these which receive the seed by the wayside. Well, but there are some that receive the seed in stony places. Well, the same heard the word and anon received it with joy. This also happened in the 70s and so forth, you know. But these people had no root in themselves, he said. You know, you could go into many of our fellowships back then, and my goodness, people would be singing one song for hours. It was like joy. It was all over the place. We were just rejoicing, shouting, and so forth. But many of them had no substance. You know, people were not even reading the word. They were just looking for signs and wonders. And God, a lot of signs and wonders, you know, and so forth. But there was no foundation. And after a while, you know, Jesus said, well, you know, they were people that they had no root in themselves, you know, and they endured for a while, you know, but when any kind of trouble came on account of the word, they, by and by, they fell away. So we've seen that. And then he said, well, there are some others, like the seed that fell among thorns. They were choked because of the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. When people began to pursue the things of the world, they lost the zeal and the enthusiasm for the king's things of the kingdom. And so the life was choked out of them as well. You know, but the worst one was the one that started out with joy. Now, in one case, they didn't have understanding, so the devil took it from them. Fine. They never had understanding anyway. You know. Another case, well, they pursued the things of the world. You know, so that choked the life out of them. But these ones actually received the word with joy. This is the one I want to call out. They received the word with joy. But because they had no root in themselves. Back then, people were not, you know, they were just shouting, going to fellowship, screaming up and down and so forth. There was no Bible study. People would just be prophesying and doing all kinds of things. I mean, there was nothing going on. There was no real root. Eventually, none of those people, many of them fell away. But thank God, there were a chosen few that God put his hand upon them. And they are standing till today. Some of them are on this platform right now. They're standing till today to the glory of God. But most of the people, they fell away. You know, and these are people that were shouting for joy. And Jesus said it right here. He said, look, they shouted for joy. They received the word with joy, but afterward they fell away. Now, many of those people came shouting out of Egypt. You know, the name of our Lord is one. Our God is one. He's one Lord, you know. And they shouted out of Egypt. Many of them did. They were shouting that we're going. We're free. Free at last. Free at last. But many of them died in that wilderness. A very sad story, folks. Very, very sad, you know, and let's not be like that. We were not going to die in this wilderness. We're going to the promised land. Glory to God. You know, so yeah, some cautions that we need to take along the way. Number one, you know, do not settle for manna. You know, there's a lot of manna today, you know, manna. Some people are looking for signs and wonders and some things and so forth. Even preachers, you know, they get getting carried away because they want their churches to be full. And they're doing, they'll do, sell their souls, some of them, you know, in order to get their churches to be full and just do all kinds of things. And people are just doing all kinds of things. You know, there's a lot of fluff. And Jesus called this manna fluff. There's a lot of fluff, you know. In another place, he said, well, you know, my fan is in my hand and I will thoroughly purge and sift my flour. You know, in the same Matthew 13, he told them of a story of the parable of the tares. He said, the Son of Man planted good seed, but while men slept, you know, an enemy sowed evil seed among them. Well, the servants woke up in the morning and saw, he said, what's all this weed doing among this? He said, well, let them pluck it out. And you're like, don't do it now, because they look too similar right now. They look just like the same, you know. When I was growing up, we were practicing how to grow corn and maize and so forth. And when we would grow the thing initially, started to grow, it looked like this thing called Bahama grass. They look just the same at first, you know, but as they begin to grow, well, the real fruit will begin to show, you know. I said, well, let them grow, both grow together. You know, after a while, you'll see the real deal. And at that time, the real deal, the harvesters will come. Glory to God. You know, so, but there's always this mixture. You know, and the mixture is there to make sure, you know, that some don't get to the promised land. Well, you know, I've made up my mind. What about you? And this is my story. What about yours? You go into the promised land, or you just settle for manna through grumblings and stuff? Or are you going to be distracted by, you know, the report of giants and so on and so forth? Or are you going to sanctify the Lord and believe the Lord all the way? And I'm not just talking about material blessings here. I'm talking spiritual things here this morning. You know, material blessings come along the way. You know, but that's not what we are seeking. Jesus said, seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these other things will be added. But, you know, when we seek those things, well, you can get those things, but you may not get the kingdom. Now, let me tell you about the things, you know, another distraction, you know, that try to get people away from the focus on the promised land. You know, Jesus called it deceitfulness of riches. This was the one with the seed among the thorns. You know, that's what a lot of churches and a lot of people are focused on this day. We're focused on this, you know, what we can amass and what we can get, we call it prosperity gospel or whatever. And, you know, that's not what Jesus was preaching. Neither was that what the apostles were preaching. But God will take care of your needs. We know that, you know, but anything that would take your soul away from him, that didn't come from God. You know, it's man-made. Listen to this. Jesus was talking to this man called Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And it's something he said to the man that I want you to consider carefully here today. When he was talking to the man about being born again, he said, look, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? In fact, the man Nicodemus said, what do you mean? I mean, am I going to enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus was talking something spiritual. But he said, look, except you're born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, well, that tells us, if you unpack that, that this being born again experience is the portal, is the gate to the kingdom. Because he said, except you be born again, you can't enter. So being born again is your entering into the kingdom. But when you enter, then what happens? So there was a story I heard, real story from somebody who knew it and said it one time. And it's pertinent to this. I've shared it before, but I'll share it again. There was a very wealthy man in Nigeria at one time who knew nothing about the Lord, but he pursued riches, wealth, and so forth. And he did very well for himself. One day, by the graces of God, God visited him as a personal revelation. And he began to think about the Lord. You know, he was a very wealthy man. Owned homes, houses, cars, everything, businesses. True story. It's not a parable. And then, you know, he started to, you know, Lord, you know, visited him. And then the Lord said to him, well, you know, he was wondering how he could find out more about the Lord. The Lord said, well, look for your brethren. So he gets up, and this story happened in this generation, actually. So he gets up and goes to look for, quote unquote, his brethren. I mean, remember, it's in the scriptures too. I mean, Cornelius wanted to know more. God sent him, go look for Peter, or this and this and that. So, I mean, it's not unscriptural. So now he went and sought for a church, you know, because he didn't know much about anything. And so he looked for, you know, a church. He thought, well, this will be a good one. And it's a lot of crowd in it. So he went in there. He gets in there. They're preaching about prosperity and stuff like that. Attends one service or two, said, he leaves. Goes to another one. Preaching the same thing. He leaves. You know, after a couple of times, one of the people or some of the people from one of those churches began to realize that we can't find this man. You know, so, you know, some of the elders that maybe had been introduced to him or so. So they went and looked for him. And these were at least some people that were, you know, compassionate that couldn't find this man. So they traced him. He had actually attended some of these places for a while. And he wasn't satisfied, moved on, attended another. So finally they found him and found him in his house. And he got to his house, a lot of cars and different things. House was like a mansion and everything. So they asked him, hey, brother, how you doing? You know, what's happening? We haven't seen you. I mean, you came for a while. We haven't seen you again. What's going on? And he says to them, and it's a true story. I heard it from somebody who knew one of those people that went to visit this man. And he said, gave them a story. He said, look, I was wealthy before I came into the church. I had all these things, you know, but I was looking for something. But when I came there, you guys were telling me all the things that I already had without Christ. And I said, you added no value. I said, look, you passed through my yard. You saw all those cars. You see my house. You know, I didn't need the gospel that you guys were preaching. I wanted to know about Christ. You guys are telling me how to get the things that I already got without Christ. You know, and my goodness, when I heard that story, it wasn't told to me personally. I was listening to somebody who was preaching and using this story as an example. And so I said, wow. And I said, this reminds me of this Nicodemus story. Because Jesus said, all the things that you can get before you are born again, it's not part of the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. Until you are born again, you're not in the kingdom. So everything that happened to you before you were born again, even though providence was leading you in that direction, but it was outside the kingdom. When you're born again, now you're inside. So this man got all this wealth and all these riches before he got into the kingdom. And when he got into the kingdom, looking for his brethren, they started to preach to him those same things. And he was discouraged. And he said, no, I'm going to go to my house. You guys can't offer me anything. True story. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the distraction. Many people are there. They come into churches. They're looking for, they go to whatever platforms. What they are looking for is some prosperity thing and some other thing and so forth. Mana is what they are looking for. But God has something beyond that. God has the promise of the promised land. And those people will get manna too. But after they ate all the manna, Jesus said, well, they all died anyway. So when you are seeking the things that are not after God, you may get them, but the end of those things might be death. After all, they may not lead to life. So we must get rid of those distractions and focus on the Lord. And the other thing is, you know, that can distract people and get us off the track is who are you listening to? That's the problem. Who are you listening to? There were 10 people that said negative things. 2 people said positive things. The voices of the 10 drowned the voices of the 2. So it's a serious story. Who are you listening to? Jesus said, be careful how you hear and what you hear. Be very careful. you know, because what you hear is going to affect who you become. Because faith comes by hearing, and unbelief comes by hearing as well. If you never thought of that, think of it today. Faith comes by hearing. Unbelief also comes sometimes by seeing, but also sometimes by hearing. These people didn't see anything. They were only hearing evil report. And unbelief came into their heart because of the evil report they heard. So, you know, depending on what you hear, you know, your mind might be molded or, you know, formed depending on what you hear. So be careful how you hear. You know, if you do not hear the right things, it might lead into destruction. You know, so the scripture gives us warning about this. You say, well, you know, I don't know. Well, you should know. Because Jesus says, you know, that be careful that you are not being led by blind. He said, when the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Well, my response to that is, well, the leader may be blind, but you don't have to be blind. You know, if the leader is blind, but you are not blind, you open your eyes wide, you will not fall into the ditch with them. It takes the two of them to be blind in order to fall into the ditch. The leader is blind. Ye blind gates and so forth, Jesus called them. You will not enter in and you will not let people enter in and so on. So the leader is blind. We know that. But what about you? Do you have to be blind because the leader is blind? Well, it's on you. If you are blind because they are blind, then both of you will fall into the ditch. That's what Jesus said. You know, now, in the book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. It's important that you take heed how you hear. And also, in another place, one of the other gospel writers, he calls it, in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. In Luke 8, 18, Luke reported it, take heed how you hear. In Luke, in Matthew 4, 24, he records that, take heed what you hear. Now, so same thing. How you hear, what you hear is important, you know, because it can build faith or it can build unbelief or build even something that is more superfluous. Now, superfluosity is even more dangerous. Looks good on the outside, but inside is dirty. Jesus criticized, actually rebuked the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. He said, well, you make white the outside of the cup, but inside is dirty. You build sepulchres and make the, you know, put headstone, beautiful flowers and all these things on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones. You know, so these are some things that may cause big time problems for those who are trying to get to the promised land. Here is the help that the Holy Spirit offers. You know, seek ye, Jesus said, look, labor not, you know, for the meat that perisheth. You know, there is a meat that is perishing, like manna, you know, which is what most people are pursuing, right? But, you know, Jesus already said that that will perish and it won't get you anywhere. But the one that will get you somewhere is the word of eternal life. What is the word of eternal life? Where will you find it? Peter one time said, well, you are the one that have the words of eternal life. Where shall we go? And he knew within himself that there was no place else to go. But Jesus said, well, shall you also go away? You know, when he started to tell them some deep things, and they said, well, shall you go away? He said, no. Well, where can we go? So there's no other place for you to go. John chapter 6 and verse 27 says, you know, Now, this is a commandment from Jesus, and it's a warning from us today. Holy Spirit, to you, you know, to take heed what you are pursuing. John 6:27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth like manna, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has the Father sealed. Now, does that mean we shouldn't go to a job or our jobs or just sit at home, sitting around, go to the wilderness and lock yourself up or something? No. But he's saying, let the purpose and the drive in your soul and in your heart not be towards these things that will perish. Let them be towards the kingdom of God. You know, you can't, if the church has nothing to offer to people other than prosperity gospel, then we can't help the rich. You know, that's why today, you know, the church is only filled with poor people that are aspiring to be rich. Well, he said, well as the scriptures spoken about these people, that the poor have the gospel preached to them. But he said, well, then does that mean that rich cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, well, hardly. Because they're pursuing riches and that's blinded their eyes. But I guarantee you, there is true wealth. And the people of God can be rich. You do it right. And God will prosper many of them. They know how to give it away. I've often said, God will always get it to them. And there will be, you know, sharing and different things. There will be nothing lacking in the body of Christ. You know, but those who are focused on it, it's a big distraction. This, what we should be consumed about is not how we're going to get our next big promotion, a next big car, the next big house, the next this and that, which is what people are consumed about. You know, when God is moving, I've seen it all the time, moving the congregation, power God down, coming down, people are even slain in the spirit. What prayer are they? If you listen, what prayer are they praying? Well, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. In the midst of all of that, you know, so, you know, and those are the same prayers that unbelievers pray. People don't think they're unbelievers, they pray. Ah, God save my pekin. As I would pray in Nigeria, you know, save my pekin. Say this. And they're always looking for help, you know, from God. They pray, but they don't know the God they are praying to. You know, so, but, you know, let me tell you the prayer of the believer, which no unbeliever can pray. This is the prayer of the believer here. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, you know, in verse 15, after I heard your faith and love of the saints, I cease now to give thanks to you, making mention of you. Now, this is the prayer of the believer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. No unbeliever can pray this prayer. I guarantee you. They will be praying that God should help them, save them out of trouble, promote them, do this, do that. They can pray about those things, you know, but they don't know the real God. But they will not be praying about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. That the eyes of, can an unbeliever pray this prayer? The eyes of my understanding to be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of God's calling, what I may understand the riches of his glory in the heavens. No unbeliever can pray like that. So if your prayer is no different from the unbeliever's prayer, Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, except your prayer is different from the prayer of the unbelievers, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, said, this is what they are seeking after, all these things. That's what the heathen is seeking after. Why? Don't pray like that. You know, don't let your life be driven like that. You know, exceeding greatness of his power towards what who believe, you know, according to his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, had raised him from the dead. Unbeliever cannot pray this prayer. Neither can they pray the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Same thing. They cannot pray those prayers. So if your prayer is no different, if your pursuit is no different than what the spirit of, what the unbelievers are doing, and the spirit of God is telling you today, well, amend your ways and change your ways. For this cause, Paul said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, this is Ephesians 3:15 now, that will grant you, according to his riches, to be strengthened with spirit, with might, by his spirit in the inner man. Unbeliever cannot pray this. that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I may be rooted and grounded in love, that I may be able to comprehend with the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and be filled with the fullness of God. Unbeliever cannot pray to be filled with the fullness of God. So if our prayer is no different, you know, every time you ask for prayer and you raise prayer, it's, you know, so that you may be rich and do this and do that. Well, fine. God may give you, but it will be manna. That's right. And, but the real bread that comes down from heaven is withheld. Even God was saying, showing us something, even with this manna that was a response to their murmurings, even God was piping it, hid it. He said, oh, there's a real hidden manna, not this manna. Well, this other one he called the showbread. But a hidden manna is hidden. You got to discover it. How do we discover it? Well, when you enter the kingdom through the door, not climbing some other way. Jesus said those ones are thieves and robbers. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, shall be saved. You come in through the door, then you're born again. Then you're now in the kingdom, but you are still standing in the doorway. Now you got to discover. So ladies and gentlemen, let's embark on discovery. That's what walking with God is all about. Embark on discovery. The analogy I've given before, I give it again. When you go to these great theme parks like Disneyland and Disney World and you pay the fees and you enter through the turnstiles, you've just arrived in Magic Kingdom. There's actually one called Magic Kingdom in Orlando. You have just arrived there. Just because you have arrived there and you have gone through the turnstile, you pay the fees, you just enter the door. Now you have to go discover what it's all about. If you stand there and say, oh, I came to Magic Kingdom, you got nothing. Just pay for nothing. So when you are born again, you have entered the kingdom. And I say, welcome. But now you got to discover the concepts of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. You got to understand the principles of the kingdom. Some of them is what we're talking about today. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, or, you know, how I shall be promoted, or how I shall be this and that and so forth. It's in righteousness, it's in peace, in joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's in the pursuit of the things of God. May the Lord give us understanding to go forward. I may speak on this a little more because some things I still need to say, but time is up, so I'm going to cut it down here. But let us not settle for manna, whereas we can get to the promised land. And let us not go around in the wilderness, whereas we can get to the promised land. And let us not murmur in our hearts. The Bible says, neither murmur ye, as they also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, either now or later through the replays, that an understanding will come upon them and a sense of urgency will come upon us, that we will seek the Lord with all our hearts while he may be found, that we will be consumed with the things of the Spirit rather than the things of this world. Love not the world, 1 John 2 and 15. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, for all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. All these things that are in the world are not of the Father. That may be good, may look like manna, but Jesus said it's not. That was not from God. You know, the real one from God is right here. Praise God. I pray the Lord give you understanding in all things. And may the Lord ignite our souls, ignite and light a fire in our heart that is after the Lord at all times, that want the things of God. Don't settle for fluff. Go for the gold. Hallelujah. Do not settle for fluff. Go for the gold. Don't settle for manna. Go for the promised land. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.